The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Tetvav. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Hilfon Ben Regina Malka and Mazal Bat Esther. Hashem Alehem Yehiyu. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Rfu'ah Shelema David Ben Adel. Ella Refanalo Betuch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We are going to begin today's daf on Yud Dalet Amud Bet. We'll just backtrack a little to get into the flow of the sugya. We will start 6 lines from the bottom, starting from the word Netanya. Netanya, we learned in the Braita. Lo yitiv et anerot ve'arkach yaktir. The Braita said, according to one opinion, that you do not make hatavata nerot, which we understand it to mean the cleaning out of the menorah. So lo yetiv et anerot ve'arkach yaktir. Do not do hatavata nerot and then the ketoret. Ela yaktir ve'arkach yetiv. Which means do the ketoret first and then the hatava. This is the opinion of the rabbis that said that the ketoret would come in between the hatavata nerot. Hatavata nerot was done in two stages. It was done 5 nerot, then they would do the ketoret according to the rabbis, and then they would do the hatava on the shte nerot. That was the shita of hachamim. Abba Shaul says, metiv v'harkach maktir. He says, no, you do the whole hatava. Actually, in between the two stages of hatava, you had zirikat adam, the sprinkling of the blood of the Qurban Tamid, and then after that you did the Ketoret. So if it comes out, we have a great mahloket between Hachamim and Abba Shaul in the order of when the Ketoret took place. According to Hachamim, the Ketoret took place in between the Hataba, between the 5 and the 2. According to Abba Shaul, the Haktara took place after the total hatavat hanerot. Naitam ad Abba Shaul, what's the reason of Abba Shaul? Dichtiv, because it says, baboker, behetibo et hanerot, vehadar yachtirena. So the pasuk says that in the morning, behetibo et hanerot, first he cleans out the menorah, and then what? Yachtirena. And then he brings the ketoret. So hatavah comes before the ketoret. Verabbanan, what does the Torah mean in that pasuk? Be'idan hataba tehe maktir ketoret. Which means, it means in the pasuk, baboker, be'etivo et hanerot. When you are cleaning out the candles or cleaning out the menorah, yaktirena. At the time of hataba, that's when you do haktara. So you do the haktara in the middle. In the middle of the hatavat hanerot, that's when you do the haktara. Another rabbi support their view. Because if you're not going to say the interpretation of the pasuk like this, ben arba'im, regarding the afternoon in the Beit HaMikdash, dechtiv, ubaalot Aaron et hanerot ben arba'im yachtirena. It says in the afternoon, Aaron would light the menorah. Ubaalot Aaron et hanerot ben arba'im, when Aaron would be lighting the menorah in the afternoon, yachtirena. Now, according to the way Abba Shaul would learn this pasuk, seemingly, when first you do the ha'alot ha'nerot, you light the menorah, and then you do the haktara, the Gemara says, K'epi, ha'chen amed de beresham, adlik nerot, v'adad maktir ketoret shumen arbaim? Are you going to explain this pasuk to mean that first you light the menorah in the afternoon, then you do the haktara, v'chitem ha'chen amed, and maybe you'll tell me, yeah, maybe that's what the pasuk means, K'epi. V'atanya, we learned in the Braita, me'erev ad boker. The pasuk says, the pasuk writes, I'll give you the whole pasuk. The oil moed mechutz laparochet asher la'adut ya'aroch oto aharon ubanav me'erev ad boker lefnei Hashem. Means the kohen has to set up the menorah and light it me'erev ad boker from the night until the next morning. So the Gemara says two derashot on this words, these words, me'ariv ad boker. Number one, ten la middata. You have to put the right shi'ur of oil in the menorah. Sheteh doleket ve'oleket kol ha'layla me'ariv ve'ad boker. That it'll last until the evening, until the morning. From the evening till the morning. Meaning, they would calculate the longest night in the Beit HaMikdash. The longest night would be in the winter, in Tevet. So therefore they would put enough oil in order to last the longest night from the time of the lighting until the morning. Me'erev ad boker. Ten lak middata. Put the proper shi'ur that it should last. Now of course, using that shi'ur, you'd have extra during the summer months, but so what? There's no problem of putting extra oil. The problem is putting less. So that's the first hadush. Me'erev ad boker is the shi'ur of oil that was placed. Another interpretation. Me'erev ad boker. En lecha avoda shekishera me'erev ad boker. Ela zu bilvad. She's the only service that's permissible from the erev, from the evening, until the morning, is the menorah. Meaning the menorah is the last service of the day. Me'erev. So at the end of the day, beginning of the evening until the morning. Mashma that what? That you don't do anything after the lighting of the menorah. She's me'erev ad boker is the only item. As a matter of fact, the pasuk says, Ya'aruch oto aharon. Which means only this, from the word oto is key in this derasha. This is the item that's done me'erev ad boker, but nothing else. So therefore when it says that ubha'alot aharon etadmirot ben arbaim yektirena, it must mean that the ketoret comes first, and then the lighting of the menorah. Because you cannot do anything after the lighting of the menorah. So therefore, just like we explained in the morning, that when it says baboker baboker beheti beheti bo tanur ektirena, it doesn't mean that you light the menorah, then you do the ketoret. It means while you're lighting, you do the ketoret. So too in the evening, it means the same thing. While you're lighting, you bring the ketoret, but not that you're going to bring the ketoret after the lighting, because you can't bring it after the lighting, because it says yaruch oto aron me'erev ad boker, and it means only the menorah can be done in the evening until the morning and nothing else. Ela ma'ika amar rahmana. So what does the pasuk mean when it says ben arbaim? Be'idan hadlaka, at the time that you're lighting the menorah in the afternoon, tehem machtir ketoret. Bring the ketoret simultaneously. Ha'cha nameh, so too by the morning. Be'idan hataba, at the time that you're cleaning out the menorah, tehem machtir ketoret. So that's the shita of the hakamim. Ve'abba sha'ul amar lecha, how's Abba Sha'ul going to learn? He says, shani atam. It's different over there by the Ben Arbaim, Dichtiv Oto. Okay, you have a Gizrat Katuv. In the afternoon it says, Ya'aruch Oto Aaron Ubanav Me'ariv Ad Boker. Okay, so Ben Arbaim, the menorah in the afternoon, Davka has to be the last item in the day. Because it says Oto. This item is Me'ariv Ad Boker. Okay, I agree with you. In the afternoon, there's no choice, because I got a Gizrat Katuv. But in the morning, now, I learned the pasuk straight. Do that taba first, and then do that tara after. So that's the shitot over here between Hakamim and Abba Shaul. What is that? Yes, at night he agrees that the menorah was done last. Meaning ketoret first, and then the menorah. Yes, at night we have no machloket. The only machloket is in the morning. Now, the reason why we started with this whole sugya, we're talking about hataba and the ketoret, is because we had a stira in the Mishnayot. If you remember in the Mishnayot, in Yoma, we had our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah clearly said on Yud Dalet Amud Rishon, where it said, Maktir et haketoret umetiv et hanerot. Our Mishnah was discussing the 7 days preparation of the Kohen before he goes to serve. It told us his daily routine, what he would be doing. So one of the things it says was, he would bring the ketoret, right? And he would light the menorah, I mean clean the menorah. So our Mishnah's mashma what? That ketoret comes before hatava. We have another Mishnah later on that says the opposite, that hatava, that the ketoret comes before the, anyway, that the hatava comes before the ketoret. So the Gemara says, oh, I have a stira. Now you have a contradiction. So the way we answered it was that, no, it's talking about one shita, and you have no problem. There's There's the five, the ketoret, and then the two of hatara. So therefore, the Mishnah that says that you do the menorah first, yeah, you do the five hatara first, and then you do the ketoret. Our Mishnah that says you do the ketoret and then the hatara, yeah, it's the ketoret, and you do that above the shtenerot. That's the way we answer the contradiction. Now, the Gemara is going to give a different answer. Now, Papa is going to offer another answer how to reconcile those two Mishnayot. Papa said, Lakasha. No question between the two Mishnayot. Harabanan, Ha'abashaud. Once already we know that there's two Shitot over here, between a banan and a bashaud, I can reconcile the two Mishnayot like that. Which means, our Mishnah that says Ketoret first, and then Hatava, that's going according to the opinion of the Hakamim. That says the Hatava Tenerot is done after, like we learned. Meaning, it's done first, right? And then you do the Shnayim. And the Mishnah later on that says the Hadlaka was done, the Hatava was done before the Ketoret, that's a Bashaul. Meaning the whole Hatava was done, and then the Ketoret followed. So I can answer the two Mishnayot going according to two opinions. Rabbanan is our Mishnah, and the Mishnah later on is a Bashaul. Look at Rashi, just to say that inside. Rabbapa Ava Lakasha. Seder Yoma, a Seder Yoma. No question from the Mishnayot in Yoma. בהטבת שתי נרות, הדתנן כתורת ברשע, רבנן. המשטר לצאת כתורת comes first, would be רבנן, והדתנן נרות ברשע, הפנין לצאת נרות comes first, would be אבא שאול. Right, we take out those words, just keep the word סדר יומה, הסדר יומה. Yeah. No. Stick with the five and two, because you have to have separate between the five and the two. So therefore, you put the ketoret in between.
They don't use the uba ha'avot, uba as a connection to bet. Say in the middle.
Meaning for the morning, baboket. In the morning, it says baboket, baboket behetivo. Right. That's what the rabbis are learning. The rabbis are while you're doing hatava, do the ketoret. That's exactly what the hakamim say. Abba Shaul learned that way. Yeah.
That's how you learn
in the bet. It's just bet while you are. But Abba Shaul learned like that. He's no hatava and then haktara. Now, b'mayukim talimat nitin ha'achak rabbanan. Oh, so you're explaining our Mishnah like rabbanan. Payis ke'Abba Shaul. And the Mishnah later on is called the Mishnah of Pious, because that was the Mishnah that talked about the lotteries that they would do in the morning in order to decide who gets to serve what services. Because you had a lot of Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. So they had to make a lottery. So in the Mishnah of the lottery, we're saying that that's going like Abba Shaul. That first you did the Hatavat HaNerot, because it's in the order of the lottery, it said, Mi Metib, Mi Maktir. So it put Hatava, and then it put Haktara. So the Gemara says, fine, you want to put our Mishnah is a banan. The next Mishnah, or the Mishnah of Pais would be Abba Shaul. Ema Sefa. But there's a third Mishnah. Well, what does it say in the third Mishnah? Heviyu lo et tamid. This is talking about the Kohen Gadol on Kippur. Remember, the service on Kippur is done all by the Kohen Gadol. So they would bring him in the morning, the Korban Tamid. Kartsu, so he would make shechita, but it's not really a shechita, because normally shechita, the person that shechet korban tamid, he stores the entire animal. However, the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur cannot slaughter the entire animal. He slaughters what's called rov simmanim, meaning he pierces the korban, the majority of the simmanim he cuts, and then right away somebody continues. Why didn't he do the whole shechita? Because in this case, the Kohen Gadol has to also catch the blood. He has to do Kabbalat Adam. So if he's going to make the full Shechita, the blood's going to fall on the floor. He's not going to be able to catch the blood. So on Kippur, he would Shechit Rov. Somebody would take over and finish. And right away, the Kohen would take the Keli and catch the Dam. So then, Umarak Acher Shechita Al Yado. And somebody would speedily finish the Shechita for him. Right? After he did Rov Simanim. And then what, he would catch the blood. Nichnas laktir et haketoret uletiv et hanerot. Then he would go to bring the ketoret, giving you the order. And then he would go clean out the menorah. Who could that be going like? Atan l'rabbanan. That must be going like the Shita of the Rabbanan, that the Ketoret comes before the Hatamat HaNerot. So now we have a question. Resha v'sefa Rabbanan umsi'ata Aba Shaul? Which is at three Mishnayot now. You have the first Mishnah, which is ours. You have the second Mishnah, which is the Mishnah of the pious. And you have the third Mishnah, which is the order of what he did on Kippur. According to this, it comes out that the first Mishnah and the third Mishnah are going like the rabbis, and the middle Mishnah is going like Aba Shaul. That's difficult to say. Usually when you have Mishnayot in sync, you like to keep all the Mishnayot one Shita. Here you have one in three are like the rabbis, that Ketoret comes before that Tava, and Mishnah number two is going like Aba Shaul. The Gemara says, is that possible? Amar lecha rapapa in. The Papa says, yeah, you have no choice over here. Resha v'sefar banan umsi'ata Aba Shaul. So comes the Gemara and says, Bishlama Abaye. Makes sense according to Abaye. Who is Abaye? Abaye is the one that gave the first answer to reconcile the Mishnayot. That the Mishnayot are going all like one rabbi, and it's just talking about different stages. One's talking about after the Hatarav the five, and one's talking about before the Hatarav the two. So Bishlama Abaye lo amar kira papa lesha v'sefar bananum si'ata Aba Shaul lo mokimla. Because he didn't want to say that Papa's answer, because then you're going to have a problem of Resha Rabbanan, Sefer Rabbanan, Mesiata, Aba Shaul. So we know why Abaye did not subscribe to the opinion of Aba Shaul. I'm sorry, of Rab Papa. Abaye did not subscribe to Rab Papa because you're going to have a problem with the three Mishnayot. Ela Rab Papa, my tamalu amar ka Abaye. But Rab Papa, you have a problem with your Shita. Why not say the same answer that Abaye said? Meaning, say it's all one Shita, and we just thought the first Mishnah is talking about that first you clean the when the Mishnah says Ketoret and then Hatava, it means Ketoret and Hatava Chtei Nerot, and then the next Mishnah talking about Hatavat Chamesh Nerot and then Hatavat Chamesh Nerot and then the Haktara. What was the matter with that answer? So the Gemara says, אמר לך, תנה ברשע הטבת שתי נרות, והדאר הטבת חמש נרות. He says, because you're putting it out of order. In the Beit HaMikdash, what did they do first? הטבת חמש נרות, and then הטבת שתי נרות. The way you're going to learn according to Abaye, the Mishnah is teaching it out of order. Because our first Mishnah is discussing the Ketoret that was done before the שתי נרות. What do you mean? Why did you skip the five Nerot? The second Mishnah talks about the five Nerot that was followed by the Ketoret. So, Rabbi Papa, I don't like that. According to you, Abaye, the Mishnayot are out of order. Because you're putting the Hatavah Shtei Nerot before the Hatavah of Chamesh Nerot. The Abaye, Amar Lecha, Oruye Be'almahu Dekamore. All we're doing over there, we're just teaching you that these things were done. We're not giving you the order. Don't get hung up that it's out of order. You're right, it's out of order. That's not the discussion of the Mishnayot over here. V'sidra ha'adar tanile. Later on in the third Pedek, whatever is later on in the Masechet, we're going to give you the exact order of the day. So I'm not worried about that the Mishnah is out of order, because that wasn't the focus of this purpose of the Mishnayot over here. The purpose of the Mishnayot over here was to tell me that this is what the Kohen did in Zayin Yemei Miluim, and this is what the Kohen did on Kippur. Order is later on. The Mishnah is going to give it to you all in order, so don't get sidetracked by that. So it comes out, we have two answers how to reconcile the Stira in the Mishnayot in Masechet Yoma. We have the answer of Abaye that wants so that all the Mishnayot are really talking about Shitat Hakamim, and we're just catching the Hakamim at different stages. Either we're catching them after Hatavat Chamesh Nerot, or we're catching them before the Hatava of Shtei Nerot. That's the way you reconcile the Mishnayot according to Abaye. Whereas Rab Papa goes, no, we have Mishnayot like Rabbanan, and we have a Mishnah like Aba Shaul. Problems according to each Shita? Well, the problems according to Abaye is the Mishnayot are not following the order. Meaning, you're putting Hatavat Shtei Nerot in the Mishnah before you talk about the Hatava of Chamesh Nerot. How does Abaye answer that problem? Abaye will say, by the way, you're right, it's out of order, but we're not giving you order now. That's not the purpose of the Mishnayot. The Mishnayot is going to give you the order later on. Rab Papa's answer has an intrinsic problem as well. His problem is that we have a third Mishnah, and that Mishnah is going like Rabbanan. So it comes that you have Rabbanan, Aba Shaul, Rabbanan. So it's funny to have three Mishnayot where the middle Mishnah is following a different opinion that says you do the Haktara totally after the Hatava. But Papa rather learn that answer with that problem than to say you're going out of order. So that's basically the machloket between Rav Papa and Abaye and Rabbanan and Abba Shaul. We start now with the Gufa. We learned above. Balo lekeren mizrahit sefonit, noten mizrahit sefonit, ma'aravit deromit, noten ma'aravit deromit. Okay, now we're going back. We're going back to the subject of the Korban Tamid on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen would actually sprinkle the blood. Now the blood of the Korban Tamid is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah is going to give us a great machloket here, how the blood of the Korban Tamid was sprinkled at which corners of the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah said, Balo, the Kohen comes, Lekeren Mizrahit Sefonit, to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, Noten Mizrahit Sefonit. So he places the blood on an angle. So it now hits the two corners, the northeastern corner, at the same time. He throws the blood, and it hits the two corners. And then it says, Ma'arabit Dirumit, he goes to the southwestern corner, which is exactly diagonally opposite, noter ma'arabi deromit, and he plays it on a diagonal where it's going to hit both corners at the same time. Now, just so you can get a feeling of this, what they did, I have the picture book over here that I'm looking at for those that are live over here. Here you see, like over here at the base of the Mizbeah, they would place the blood or throw the blood where it's hitting two sides. Here, that's this is the deromit mizrahit sefonit. So you have the north northeast over here. You see how it was done? Well, it's like an L. It's hitting two corners, and then you'd have over here. That's the dam of the Ona. Okay, and this picture's for the next subject, just so you get an understanding. It was done at the base of the mizbeach on two sides. So it's really shtayim shen arba. It's shtayim shen arba. It's two pourings that are really four, because the two pourings actually cover four sides. That's shita of hakamim. However, comes the Gemara and says, "Vetani ala." We have a braita on this. Rabbi Shimon isha mispa. Rabbi Shimon isha mispa. Mishane betamid. He says the Korban Tamid is different. Meaning, a regular Korban Ola, I agree. That's the way you sprinkle. You sprinkle the two on one corner and the two on the other corner, which means it's two, that's four. You do the northeast, you do southwest, I agree. But Ola Tamid is different. Why, what's different? That doesn't change. The northeastern corner stays the same. You pour it, and it goes, on both corners at the same time. Ma'arabit derumit. But when you get to the southwestern corner, noten ma'araba, ve'arkak noten deroma. You place it in two shots, which means first you pour on the western side of the mizbeach. And then you pour on the south. So technically, according to Rabbi Shimon HaMispa, there's three pourings here. The first one, he agrees. Northeast, it's the same. One shot, you hit two corners at the same time. And the second side, diagonally across on the southwest, you're hitting the same spots. You're hitting the south, you're hitting the west, and you're hitting the south. But you're doing it at two times, separate times. And the question is why? And again, there's a fantastic machloket between Hakamim and Rabbi Shimon how they did the Korban Tamid. The argument is not where they sprinkled. Everybody's agreeing this, the blood hits the same points, those four sides. And they're all going to agree, as we're going to see in the Gemara, it's done at the base of the Mizbeach. The only machloket we have over here was the southwestern side done in one shot, or was it done in two shots? So comes the Gemara and says, "My Tama the Rabbi Shimon Isha Mispa." What's the logic of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mispa? Amar Rabbi Yohanan Mishum Had Debe Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yohanan says in the name of one of the rabbis of the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai. Amar Kera. The pasuk says, "Usir Izim Ehad LeHatat LaHashem Al Olat Tamid Yaseh Vinisko." The Torah on Rosh Chodesh talks about the two karmarot that they brought. He brought number one, Usir Izim Ehad LeHatat. You had to bring a goat for Khatat on Rosh Chodesh, and then it says Al Olat Tamid, which literally means besides, over and above the Olat Tamid they brought every day, which was on Rosh Chodesh, also brought a Olat Tamid. But for the fact that the Torah juxtaposes the Hatat in the same pasuk as the Ola, Rabbi Shimon learns like this: Olahi. Really, the Torah is focusing on the Korban Ola. Ve'amar Rahmana Avid ba Maaseh Hatat. Bring the Ola Tamid, but bring it with the style of the Hatat, which is Al Ola Tamid, meaning you have to superimpose the Hatat on the Ola. Now, what's special about the Hatat? The Hatat was placed actually on four corners. The Mizbeach has Kedanot. Kedanot are the corners on top of the Mizbeach. If you want to just remind yourselves of what the Mizbeach looked like. Here. You see on 22, you see that these corners of the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, right next to the pyre where they put the Korbanot themselves. So there's four of these things. So on Korban Khatat, each one was done individually. The Kohen would go around with his finger. That's another difference between Khatat and Tamid. It wasn't thrown. With his finger, he would just dabble it on the corner, then walk to the next corner and put it on. It was four separate points. It's Arba, Shein Arba. It's four that are four. So therefore, he wants to say like this. The Olat Tamid has in it an element of Hatat, in that what? That one of its pourings are done separately. Just like the Qurban Hatat is done separately, it's not done where they sprinkle, you know, one that's two, right? Elad's done, each one separately. So the Pasuk says, Al-Ulat Tamid. She's the Hatat's properties are superimposed on the Ola, and therefore, what he's going to really say is, you do part Ola, part Hatat. What's going to be the part Ola? The part Ola is going to be on the northeastern corner. Northeastern corner, do one shot. Right? Diagonally, hit both corners like an L. And therefore you get the Ola aspect of it. On the southwest corner, we want it to have the flavor of a Hatat. How is it going to have the flavor of the Hatat? Do it in two shots. Which means when you get to that corner, sprinkle it on the west, and then sprinkle it on the south. So it's not exactly a Hatat, obviously, because the Hatat you don't sprinkle on that spot. You sprinkle on the top of the Mizbeach, on the corner. How is it similar to Hatat? In the fact that you're doing it in two separate actions. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara says, "Haketzad noten achat shishtayim." You put one sprinkling. That's two. Kemaase ola. Like maase ola, meaning on the northeastern corner, you do achat shishtayim. However, shtayim shem shtayim. But on the southwest corner, you do shtayim shishtayim. You do two sprinklings that are two. Like the Maaseh Hatat. So that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMispa.
Why
those corners? We'll see those corners now. You'll see. You'll see why. The Gemara is going to ask this question. Now, let's read Rashi. Lehatat LaHashem Al Olat HaTamid. Maaseh Hatat Al Olat HaTamid. The Maaseh Hatat is imposed on the Ola. The Hatat Te'una Pisuk Matanot. When you separate the Matanot, each one is done separately. Share Damanitan Al Arba Kedanot. Right? Its blood is placed, actually by the Kohen's finger, he sprinkles it on the corners. Af Ola Tatamid Yesh Ba Pisuk Matanot. So too, Ola Tatamid is going to have that property of separating the matanot. Lo shebitlu mimenu maaseh ola. Don't take it out of its property of korban ola. Shari olahi. Ela shenehem noagim ba. Which means it is an ola. I'm not telling you to bring it like a hatat. in one aspect follow the principal properties of a Korban Chatat and separate the southwestern pourings into two shots. So comes the Gemara and says, Viliten shtayim shen arba kema'ase ola ve'arba shen arba kema'ase atat. You want to superimpose the Chatat on the ola, do everything. Keep it as an ola first, which means do shtayim shen arba, do the northeastern corner, and then do the southwestern corner, and then go around and sprinkle on all four sides. Not on the kiranot, at the base of the mizbeach, then go do on the south, and do on the west, and then go on the north, and then go on the east. Do both. Which is why are you only superimposing half? Superimpose the whole chatat on the ola, and they will do both. Which means technically the Gemara is asking, sprinkle twice. Sprinkle the Ola, Shtayim Shen Arba, and then go around and sprinkle the Chatat, four shots, Arba Shu Arba. So Gemara says, Lo Matzinu Damim Shemechaperim Bechozrim Mechaperim. So we never find that you have to sprinkle twice to get Kapara. Because it's going to come out according to what you're learning, you're going to end up sprinkling on each corner twice. And one for the Ola and one for the Hatat. You don't do that. The dam is mechaper once. So there's no option to go around twice. One time for Ola and one time for Hatat. And damim mechaperim vechozim mechaperim. Good. Vechi matzinu damim shechatzian Hatat vechatzian Ola. So Gemara says, okay, so you're going with stuff that we never saw before. Did you ever see a korban that's sprinkled half like an Ola and half like a Hatat? Which means, what, the way we're doing it is so common? Well, you're saying, that we never saw. We cannot accept this to go sprinkle the Ola version and then sprinkle the Hatat version. Why? We never saw such a thing. Oh, but this, you saw what you're doing. You saw to do half like an Ola and half like Hatat. That's normal. Ela, what are you going to say? Al korha hekisha nakatuv. Ela, you're going to say what? I got a hekesh in the pasuk. From the fact that the Torah juxtaposes Hatat with Ola, you're right, it might be a hadush, but right, I guess it's not the katuf. So too, ha'chaname ba'al kurhan hekishan ha'katuf. So the Gemara says, for that matter then, even though it might be a hadush, we're telling you, to sprinkle the whole Ola version, and then sprinkle the whole Hatat version, that's the Gezerat ha'katuf. Which means, what I'm telling you, the Gemara is saying, is not a bigger hadush than what you're saying. You're saying, do hef Ola, hef Hatat. Hey, did you ever see that before? You never saw before, but what? Got a pasuk. So the same way you got a pasuk, tell you that hadush, learn the pasuk further and say, do total ola sprinklings, and then do total hatat. I mean, the same hadush that the pasuk tells you to split it, go further. Tell you, do the whole ola and then the whole hatat. So the Gemara says, no. It's the difference. Hatam pisuk matanot be'almahi. Which means, you have to remember, it's a korban ola. It's not a korban hatat over here. All they're telling you is in the pasuk, the way we're learning it, do half like an ola, meaning one shot on the northeast corner, shtayim shen arba, and then do the southwest corner, keep it like an ola, meaning we want you to sprinkle it on the southwest. But pisuk matanot, separate them, which means it'll have a little flavor of a hatat, but you know what? It's not a hatat. It's an ola, because bottom line, you're still doing it on the base of the mizbeach. You're still pouring it. You know, it has one little aspect like a hatat that it is being done separately. But according to you, you're saying to then after you do the shtayim shen arba, go around to each corner and then sprinkle. That's already too much like a hatat. That's what it becomes. It's an ola. It's not a hatat. According to our way already, the pasuk, it's a hidush, but at least you're still keeping the properties of Qurban Ola on it. Because bottom line, it's shtayim on one side, it's a hachem shtayim actually, northeast, it's one sprinkler, get two shots, and then you're also going to the southwest, you're just doing it separately. So, and that one little small thing is similar to a hatat. But what? It's really not a hatat, it's an ola. But the way you're telling me to do it is, go around to each corner after you did the shtayim shen arba, go around to the north, sprinkle, to the east, sprinkle, south, sprinkle. That's too much like a hatat. And the Torah is not a hatat, we're talking about Qurban, ola. So therefore, the Bishimon holds his grounds, and that's the way you do it. Comes the Gemara and says, so now the Gemara is going to ask some questions. V'netiv achat shi shtayim lemata kema'aseh ola, and shtayim shen shtayim lemala kema'ase hatat. Now the Gemara is going to say like this. We have a line on the Mizbayah. It's called Chuta Sikla. Okay, if you look at your pictures actually in 22, you see at the base of the Mizbayah, see there's like a red line here? This was called Chuta Sikla. When they would sprinkle on the Mizbayah different korbanot, the bloods, so certain korbanot had to be sprinkled below the line, and certain korbanot had to be sprinkled above the line. As you know, korban chatat obviously was sprinkled above the line. Korban tamid was sprinkled below the line. So therefore, see the chuta sikra? It's called chuta sikra. So chatat was sprinkled above the line, and the tamid is sprinkled below the line. So the Gemara says, hey, the southwestern sprinkling has a chatat flavor to it, yeah? So we should say like this, the northeast sprinkling sprinkled beneath the line, and the southwest sprinkling, since it's following the hatat sprinkle, above the line.
On the horns? Two in one.
Yeah, no, not necessarily on the horns. No, but at least keep it like a hatat that's above the chuta sikra. Not saying to do it on
Why?
The horns, because it's like a hatat. Once you're comparing it to a hatat, go further.
Do the slightest thing.
No, but you're right, but the property of above the chuta sikra would make it more like a hatat. Because for sure it has to be...
He just said, we just want to touch the chatat. We don't
want to
go...
Oh, so you have to assume in this question, that would not take it away from the property of a chatat. I mean, of a olah. Because bottom line, you're not doing it on the corners. Okay. Which means you're still keeping it, we're not going crazy to make it like a chatat totally, but do it above the chuta sikra at least, to give it more of a, you know, similarity to a chatat.
Right.
So the Gemara says, again, v'netiv. Achat shishtayim lemata kema'ase ola. Keep your northeastern corner the same. Achat shishtayim lemata, like an ola. And shtayim shem shtayim lemala kema'ase hatat. And then do two separate pourings above the line, like a hatat. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo matzinu damim shechatshan lemala vechatshan lemata. This we never saw. In one korban, that the blood, half of it is sprinkled above the line, and half of it is sprinkled below the line. It's just not done. So the Gemara says, Velo, oh, it's not done. I'll show you it's done. Ve'atenan, on Kippur, when the Kohen would bring the par, it says he would sprinkle in front of the parochet. That's in front of the, the curtain that's separated between the Kodesh and the Kodashim. And it says, how would he sprinkle? V'hizami menu, from the blood of the par of Kippur, ahat lema'ala v'sheva lemata. He would sprinkle ahat lema'ala, one above, and seven below. Which means eight times he's sprinkling. Now the assumption is that what? On the parochet itself, he would be careful to sprinkle one shot above, let's say, the halfway point, and then the other seven below. So you see that in one sprinkling, there is concern sometimes you go lemala, and you go lemata. So therefore, just like by the par of Kippur, there's a lemala and a lemata, so don't over here, sprinkle half the blood lemala mechuta sikra, and half the blood lemata mechuta sikra. So the Gemara says, no, kimasleif. Like a whip. What does it mean, like a whip? Ma'ike matzlif, ma'aveh Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda showed ke mangidna. Mangidna is like a whip. Like somebody getting lashes. Which means like this. They didn't sprinkle the blood on the parochet. They would sprinkle the blood in front of the parochet. Meaning they would start like this. The Kohen would stand in front of the parochet. The first blood would be lemala, meaning he would sprinkle it the furthest distance and it would land on the floor. The next seven would land underneath it. So therefore, lemala, lemata is not on the parochet, halfway up, halfway down, nah. It's on the floor. How is that like a whip? So that she says, when they used to whip somebody in Beit Din, so the custom was, they, let's say, start on the top of his back, and then every lash, they would go a little lower. So the whip would hit a lower spot. The same thing with the blood of the pot of Kippur. He would sprinkle, he would stand, right? Sprinkle the blood, throw it, so the first drop lands the furthest away from him. That's lema'ala. Ahat lema'ala. Veshiva, and the next seven, lemata, are closer to him. You know, subsequently going down closer to him, where the last sprinkle is the closest to the Kohen. So therefore, it's got nothing to do with lema'ala, lemata, on a parochet, on a mezbeach. So therefore, no proof. Good? Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'atenan, I got another question from another Mishnah. It says like this, Hiza mimenu al taharo shil mizbeach sheva pe'amim. It says they would take the blood, again we're talking about the blood over here of the, let me get the exact korban what we're talking about. Ve'lo, it's not so. Ve'atenan hiza mimenu al taharo shil mizbeach sheva pe'amim. Again, hazaat dam para hatat shel yom kippurim ha-mizbeach ha-zahav. Okay, the para hatat of Kippur. They would sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach ha-zahav. Which means, after he just finished the sprinkling of the seven over here, he would take the other half of the blood and go to the mizbeach and sprinkle it over there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, it says what he would do is first he'd take with his finger and dabble it on each of the corners of the mizbeach, like a regular korban hatat, and then he would go sprinkle it seven times on the mizbeach. Where on the mizbeach did he sprinkle these seven times? So the Gemara says, v'hiza v'atinan. Okay, v'lo. Well, we don't see a separation between top and bottom. V'atinan, we looked in the Mishnah. So you're following the order? Yeah. The parachatat, he would start by the parochet. He did the seven on the floor. Then he go to the mizbeach, do on the four corners, and then he would do another seven. Where would he do the other seven? V'hiza, betran, hizaminu al taharosh shel mizbeach sheva pamim. On the taharo of the mizbeach. What is taharo shel mizbeach? What is this word taharo? So the Gemara says, my love, apalged de mizbeach. They're learning originally the word taharo means at the midpoint of the mizbeach, in the wall of the mizbeach. He would sprinkle seven exactly at the midpoint. Why does the word taharo mean midpoint? Kida'amre inche, like people say, taher tihara hu, plaga diyoma. How do people say midday? The way people would say midday is Tihara, which means that's when the sun, let's say, is overhead. No. The way the Gemara over here is saying, the way they say afternoon, where the sun is exactly in the middle, chatzot, they would say tihara yoma. That the day is, pure, which means it's exactly at the midpoint. And you want to know exactly that statement over there? They would say like this, Tahar Tihara, which means, the way he says it in Hebrew, Tzaharu Tzahorayim, which means the day is, give me the English?
The purity of the day has arrived.
The purity of the day. When's the purity of the day? When the sun's overhead.
Right.
Okay, beautiful. So therefore, when you say Taharo Shel Mizbeach, it means the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Now I ask you, is it possible to sprinkle exactly all the seven at the midpoint? Inevitably, some are going to go above the midpoint, and some are going to go below the midpoint. It's impossible to hit exactly at the midpoint. So what do you see over here? We find the Korban. That it, some of it goes above, and some of it goes below. You're right, he's got to aim for the middle, but it's not going to happen. So therefore, some of the blood's going to go above, some is going to go below. So we're back to the question, why the Korban Olat Tamid?
In that Mizbeah Zahav.
Yes, on the Mizbeah Zahav, half of it, not half of it, all of it has to hit the midpoint, but it's not going to happen. It's going to go above and go below. And so we're going to say what? It's Kashir. So do the same thing by the Olat. Say do the northeast below the Chuta Sikra. The southwest, above the Yom Tosikra, like a hatat. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, no. Agufe de Mizbeach. When it says Al Taharosh al Mizbeach, it doesn't mean on the wall of the Mizbeach. It actually means on the Mizbeach itself. on the surface of the Mizbayah. Dichtiv uch'etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, so the Zekinim were there. So at that time the Zekinim received a prophecy. And it says their prophecy was like etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar, like the clarity of a clear day. That's the reception that the Zekinim got in that prophecy. Uch'etzem ha-shamayim, like the sky, la-tohar, on a clean day. So when it says al taharosh al mizbeah, it means on the clean part of the mizbeah, because on the surface of the mizbeah there was ashes. So what they do? The Kohen would go up there, clean away some of the ashes, so the base of the mizbeah was exposed. They would call that taharosh al mizbeah, the exposed surface of the mizbeah. And then what? They would sprinkle the blood on the mizbeah itself. So that's got nothing to do with at the midway point, so someone's going above and someone's going below. It's on the Mizbeah itself. If you look at picture number 23, you see what the Kohen is doing over there. He cleans away some of the coals.
That's pure.
Right? So now it's pure. Now it's exposed. And he would sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeah itself. So that has to do with above and below. Good? Mizbeah Zav. Good, boys? Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Another question. May shenad yahiv ola beresha v'adar yahiv dehatat nitiv beresha dehatat v'adar nitiv de'ola. Okay. You're doing northeast first, like an ola, and you're doing southwest like a hatat, or with the flavor of a hatat. So he's asking a question over here. Why not do the northeast like a hatat, and do the southwest like an ola? Why did you follow the ola system first, and then follow the hatat? Do the hatat first, and then do the ola. Now, the Mefashim explain why that would be a question, because you do find a precedence. Because the Mishnah Zivachim says, if let's say you have in front of you two bloods, dam hatat and dam ola, that both need to be poured on the mizbeach, the hatat comes first. So you see hatat as a precedence. So therefore, do it over here first. Do the sprinkling like the hatat first, and then the sprinkling like the ola. The Gemara answers what the obvious answer is. It's an ola. And that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, kevan de'olahi. Since bottom line, it's not a korban hatat. It's a korban ola. He kadma beresha. So obviously, its style is going to take precedence first. Okay, next question. This was Marcel's question. Why do you put northeast and southwest? Where'd you get those corners? Nativ deromit misrechit. Why did you do southeast? Vadar sefonit marabit and northwest. Which means do the opposite corners, the opposite diagonals. You're following northeast, southwest, which is exactly diagonal from each other. Right? Do the other corners. Right? Instead of northeast, do
southeast
and northwest. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula Te'una Yesod. By Korban Tamid, the blood has to fall into the Yesod. The Yesod was the base of the Mizbeah. Now, which means there was like a ledge that actually went around the base of the Mizbeah. So when you would sprinkle anything on the corners, what would happen? The blood would trickle down into the Yesod. However, the Yesod did not circle the entire Mizbeah. On one of the sides of the Mizbeah, there was no Yesod. V'keren deromit mizrechit. On the southeastern wall of the Mizbeah, lo ava le yesod. There was no yesod, which means if you look at the art scroll picture is a better picture actually. If you look at your art scrolls, you'll see how the yesod wraps around the sides of the Mizbeah. However, on the southeastern corner,
south and the east,
right on the south, right. That's right, Mizrah, exactly, and Safon. I'm sorry, and Darom. See the two sides? Those two sides, there was no Yesod. So therefore, if you're going to sprinkle on the southeast corner, It's not going to fall to the Yesod. So you have no choice but to go northeast. Right? No, actually northeast. And then you're going to go down to southwest. Now, on the, you're going to ask me a question. I thought we said on the eastern side there's no Yesod. Well, if you look on top, it wraps around one Amma. So therefore, on the eastern side, on the top, you have one Amma of Yesod. So therefore, when you're going to sprinkle on the northeast corner, it'll hit both, and it'll fall to the Yesod. For that matter, on the southwest, right, even though we said that on the west there was no Yesod, but it did wrap around one Amma. So therefore, you'll get that side as well. Actually, we said on the south there was no west. On the south there was no Yesod, but there was one Amma wrap around on the south. So therefore, your only options are, and that's the answer to your question. The only options are north, east, south, west. So you get the Yesod. All right. Yes, it'll be diagonal from each other. Yes, has to be that way because the other way you're not going to get Yesod.
Right.
But you're not going to get your sword. You got to get your sword. All the blood's got to fall to your sword.
In the northwest and the northeast.
No. You got to get four walls. It has to be four walls. Okay, well, that's the next question now. My shenad yahid beresha mizrahit sefonit vadar ma'arabit derumit. Why do you first do the northeast corner, then the southwest corner? Niti beresha ma'arabit derumit vadar mizrahit sefonit. Do the southwest, then the northeast. Who told you? I proved to you now why it's got to be those corners. Because you got your sword. But who told you the order? Do southwest and then northeast. Why do you do northeast first and then southwest? So Gemara says, Keban de Amar Mor. Because since we have a statement from Masechet Zevachim that teaches us, Kol pinot she'ata puneh, whenever you turn, lo yehu ela derech yamin lemizrach. You should always go to the right. Always start from the right. Now, over here, the Gemara is not shown as right to the east. Now, we don't need the word east for this Gemara. It's just quoting you the word east, because in the source of where we learned this statement, it was actually putting the Kohen in the east. But here, for our purposes, when a person is going to walk up the Mizbeah, well, actually, he's not really walking up the Mizbeah, because you're not... To put it on the corners, you would actually walk up the ramp. Mm-hmm. The ramp was in the south. So you'd walk up the ramp, let's say by Korban Hatat. Once you walk up the ramp, you turn to the right. Mm-hmm. That would put you due east. And then you'd put on that kid in first. And then you'd continue walking up the Mizbeah. Right, counterclockwise. The same thing over here. Here you're not walking up the Mizbeah. But which side of the Mizbeah are you going to walk up? You'll walk up the right side. Because whenever you're walking, you always walk towards the right. Now, when you're going to walk towards the right side of the Mizbeah. Now, on the first corner, that's the southeast corner. You don't sprinkle on that corner, right? You know that corner doesn't have a base, doesn't have a yesod. Mm-hmm. So you continue walking. As you continue, the first corner that's viable for sprinkling is what? The northeastern corner. And then what do? You turn right. So again, the way they explain it is, he starts on the right side of the Mizbeah. Okay. He walks up the side of the Mizbeah. The first corner he comes in contact with is the southeastern corner. The southeastern corner, which you don't sprinkle on because there's no Yesod. So he continues his walk up the Mizbeah, towards the right side of the Mizbeah, and he gets to the northeast corner. The northeast corner is the first corner that needs sprinkling. Now watch. I'm reading over here in the Pirush. When he's now going to circle the Mizbeah to get to the southwestern corner, Matchilu min ad-darom. Counterclockwise. Since the Kohen is always facing the Mizbeah, when you're going to go counterclockwise, as he's facing the Mizbeah and sprinkles, he has to turn to his right. He makes the right in order to continue his walk to go around. So therefore, it is following the dictum of the Gemara that called Piniyot, all his turnings is to the right. Gemara continues. Umimai de be'olahu de ka'amar rahmana avid kol ma'ase hatat. V'dilma be'hatat hu de ka'amar rahmana avid be'ma'ase olah. The Gemara says like this. Who told you to superimpose the hatat on the olah? Maybe it was the opposite of what the Pasuk is telling you. Maybe it means superimpose the style of the Ola on the Hatat. Which means when the Pasuk says Al Ola Tamid, maybe it means take the Ola Tamid style and do it on the Hatat that's right in the beginning of the Pasuk. You didn't learn that way, which is the Ola has got what? Ashtayim Shehen Shehen Arba. Maybe it's telling you that the Hatat of Rosh Chodesh is different than all Hatat. Normal Hatat is what? Four Keranot. But maybe the Hatat of Rosh Chodesh has to be like an Ola, the Idush Taim Shehen Arba. Means, who told you to put the Hatat on the Ola? Maybe put the Ola on the Hatat. So the Gemara says, Losa Kadatach. I would never have thought that. Dichtiv Al Ola Tatamid Yaseb Nisko. Mai Kama Rahmana Mide the Hatat Shede A Ola. Meaning Al Ola Tatamid. Which means, put the Hatat on the Ola. So therefore the Ola is the Ikar over here, and you're adding the Hatat aspect element of it to the Korban. So because it's Al Ola, you're putting something on the Ola. What are you putting it? The style of the Hatat. Baruch Adonai Olam.